here. I hope that you had a flying interlude. And not sit back, but you came back flooding, you know. This is very, very flooding, but we had to be away for a little while. But thank God we're here. And and we're going to begin our preparations for the honor of life. The sheet that you have in front of you has a Mishnah in the Masechet Rosh Hashanah on one side, and it has a Kapitel Tehillim on the other side. And there are fundamental principles of what Rosh Hashanah is all about, what man is, what the world is, what is the relationship between God and man, and what is the relationship between the Jewish people and the Rabbanish Church. These are all serious, serious, very important fundamental principles upon which all of Yahdut stands, and certainly the Yom Levayim, the Yom Adin, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So let's get into it. And it's very hard. There's also, we're also going to be dealing with another recurring question. What is Rosh Hashanah? Is it a Yom Tov? Is it a day of joy? Is it a day of festivity? Or is it a day of fear, terror, deep concern? How do we digest and how are we supposed to look at it? So there is a famous statement of the Tur Shulchan Aruch, who says the following. He brings a medrash. You don't have this. I'll tell you when to look at your sheet. Rabbi Simon said, it says in the Torah, Kimi Gori Godal, who is a nation as great as the Jewish people? Ashelo Lekim Krovim Elav, that has a God that is close to him. Kashelo Kenu Bechol Koreinu Elav, like God, our God, whenever we call to him. What other people on the face of this earth have a God that is so close and so intimately involved with them that we call to him and at any time that we choose? So on this passage, the message says, Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Yeshua Omrim, Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Yeshua say, Eizo Umo K'Umo Zu, which nation is like this nation, Sheyodah, that knows Ophia, the character, the personality of Elokeh, her God, Min Hago Shel Olam, in the normal course of things in this world, Adam Shiesh Lo Din, a person who has been brought to court, has been indicted, and is going to stand trial. How does he conduct himself? Lo Din Shcholim, he puts on dark clothing. Misatev Shcholim, he cloaks himself in that which is dark. Lets his beard grow, doesn't cut his nails. In other words, there's certain the fear of being brought before the bar of justice. Man no longer becomes concerned with his own personal hygiene and how he looks. That's not important. There's an overwhelming fear, the fear of being brought to court. Why does a man conduct himself in that way? Levisha, you know, you're there because he doesn't know. He doesn't know what the judgment is going to be. What's the verdict going to be? The Torah goes on to say, Abu Yisrael ain't okay, the Jewish people, it's not so. Lo shim levanim, they put on white clothing, mitatfid levanim, they clothe themselves in white. Megalchim zekonam, they shave or they trim. Or they trim their beards, they cut their nails, Jews eat and drink and are full of joy on Rosh Hashanah. Lefi sheyodin, because they know Shehakadosh Baruch Hu yaseh lehem nes. They know that God is going to do a miracle for them. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, the halacha is nagin saper lechabes berim Rosh Hashanah. You're supposed to take a haircut, you're supposed to wash and clean yourself before Rosh Hashanah. Ulaharbos manos ber Rosh Hashanah. And you know, have more food, another kegel, kveser, another honey cake, a real festive meal. Umikam tshuva, the Torah ends with the next few words. Umikam tshuva, here is the answer. Limit anin b'Rosh Hashanah. To those who fast on Rosh Hashanah. There was a period of time in which there were people who fasted on Rosh Hashanah. There were those who fasted during the entire Aseret Yemei Tshuva. So the Torah says that's not the halacha. Halacha does not require that. This is the answer, and this is the response to those who fast on Rosh Hashanah. Because we see Rosh Hashanah as being the day on which God does miracles for the Jewish people. The fact is, the idea of having a bit more to eat on Rosh Hashanah than normal meals is a pasuk in Nehemiah. Vayomalem, he said to them, Lechu ichru mashmanim, go eat juicy foods, ushtum altakim, and drink them to sleep. Vishilchu manot, and send portions, la'ein manot lo, the one of the fat man. Ki kadosh ayom la'adoneinu, today is a holy day for our God. Va'al teyatsu, don't be depressed. Ki chedvat Hashem himon uzchem. The joy of God is your strength. So this is a position taken by the Shulchan Aruch. Rosh Hashanah, yes, is a Yom HaDin, and there's no getting away from that, but it is not a day on which we tremble with fear, but rather it's a day of Yontif, because we are confident that our tshuva will be accepted, and therefore Rosh Hashanah fits into the category of all other Yom Tov. The Balei Musar asked, but wait a minute, it says in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, there's a machloket whether the shofar should be a bent shofar, or, you see, there are, I think Tamanim have a straight shofar, and the Gemara says that it's better to have a bent shofar because a bent shofar represents the fact that a person within himself should be bent. You're not standing up there with great confidence. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's a Yom HaDin. And it doesn't say there that the person has to be certain that miracles are going to be done for him. So the Balei Musar say that the difference, of course, is the following. The individual Jew has to do tshuva. That's all the normal way. If we're talking about Klal Yisrael as a whole, that's where God does miracles. As a people, we can have confidence that God is going to pull a few miracles. And incidentally, we desperately need Him to pull off a few big miracles.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that this Rosh Hashanah, aside from all of the our personal requests for gezin, for nachas, and all of those things, the Klal Yisrael prayer has to be none. There is a threat. There's a threat of God forbid. Can't say it out of your mouth. The threat from Iran. It's real. It's not You know, I said it on a number of occasions, we walk around over here like, we don't mail it. Unless, of course, we walk around like this because we have absolute confidence that God is going to take care of that threat. But that's a serious threat. There is no other country on the face of this earth that is faced with a threat of total destruction. That's it. We're there. By the way, the second one, and maybe I'm far more sensitive to it because during the course of the past year, my wife and I have been spending time up in the Galil, and from my from our porch on one side, we see the Kinneret. The Kinneret has never, in memory, been in such terrible shape as it is now. I push it. If I could, I'd start saying the same Talmud model of Bracha now. We need an outpouring of rain from heaven. We're in serious, serious trouble. We're in serious trouble. These are two great Klal Yisrael requests. Of course, aside from the fact that we're surrounded by enemies, not only surrounded by enemies on all sides, we have a lot of enemies right inside. That's right inside over here. We have a whole bunch of enemies. And then we have a whole bunch of enemies all. So these are the Klal Yisrael requests. But then each and every Jew, of course, knows what it is that that we have to pray for. So as far as Klal Yisrael, as far as we're concerned, we have a guarantee that there will be a miracle. I'm just very impatient. I can't wait. I can't wait to see how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. I can't wait. All right, but I'll have to. There's not much I can do. So now, there's one final step that we take before we can begin dealing with what we have to do. Klal Yisrael has a guarantee that the Rebbe Hashem is going to take care of them. Individual doesn't. The individual doesn't. So what are we going to do about the individual? Is the individual simply going to be left floundering on his own to stand up there before the bar of judgment on Rosh Hashanah with no support and no strength? A pretty frightening thing to consider. So of course the Eitzah is when the Yachid, the individual, makes himself part of the community, so then every individual who feels himself as part of Klal Yisrael, he prays on behalf of Klal Yisrael, he is concerned about the Jewish people, he therefore becomes one with them, and then all of the good things that God has in store for the Jewish people as a whole will apply to the individual as well. We'll talk about that again later. Mishnah. Barakot Prokim Ha'olam Nidon. This is the second Mishnah in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah. Barakot Prokim Ha'olam Nidon. There are four times during the year where the world is judged. By Pesach Al HaTfuah. Pesach is the time that God judges the grain of this world. The grain. Because that's the period of time in which the grain begins to ripen. So that's the time to pray for grain. And by the way, that's exactly why we bring the sacrifice of the Omer on the second day of Pesach, the 16th of Nisan. We bring the Omer, and the Omer is from the first sheaves of grain. That's the prayer for grain. Shvuas, the world is judged, the fruit of the trees. That's why we bring Bikurim on first fruits, and brought on Shvuas. V'Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah called Ba'ei Ha'olam Ovrim Lefanav Kivnei Maron. And Rosh Hashanah, all people on the face of this earth. Remember, it does not say that Rosh Hashanah is not just a day of judgment for Jews. Mm-hmm. We believe that it's a day of judgment for the whole world. Called Ba'ei Ha'olam, all people on the face of this earth. Ovrim Lefanav Kivnei Maron, pass before God. Kivenei Maron. Kivenei Maron. Murray is going to give three explanations of what Kivenei Maron means, but the first and the simplest is like sheep. The halacha is that when one has to give a tenth of his sheep, so they all sort of come out of a, as they come out of the corral in which they are, they come out single file. One, two, three, four, five, or, you know, Hashia Samecha, Uvarech Eshachol Secha, you understand? Until you come to the tenth one, and the tenth one, they will put a red mark on the tenth one, and that is to be given away as Maaseh, the tenth, the tithe. So they always come out in single file. Single file. So you have to understand that while there are billions of people in this world, but in terms of their judgment, it is as though they are passing by singly, one by one. There is no mass judgment. There is no such thing as everybody judged, as far as God is concerned, of course, in one moment. But everybody is dealt with individually. Kivnei Maron, like sheep passing in a line. Shem Ne'amar, let's go back to the Mishnah. Shem Ne'amar, Hayotzer Yachad Lipon. God creates all of their hearts. Hamevin El Kol Maseim, He knows everything that they do. That comes from chapter 33 in Tehillim. We're going to learn that chapter in a moment. The Gemara also gives another two meanings to the word Ovrin Lefonav. They pass before him, Kivnei Maron, like sheep. The other is not like sheep, but like people who are crossing Ma'alot Bet Charon. The cliff, there's a place in Eretz Yisrael, Bet Charon, two mountains on both sides, and there's a very, very thin path that goes through Bet Charon to get to the top. Understand? I remember if you remember the snake path that where at the Matsana. Imagine, certainly those of you who, if you have fear of heights, don't think about it, but it's going in single file in a place where one wrong move and it's all over. In a sense, this second shot in the Gemara is telling about taking us one step further. Not only that God judges each one of us individually, but there's more. Now, the person has to stand in judgment, understanding that everything depends on what's going to take place on Rosh Hashanah. A wrong move can be very, very, very destructive. You have to understand, you know, it's a description of what life is. We don't simply saunter through life. Life is serious. We have to look at whatever step we take. You don't have to think about falling down all the way to the bottom of a mountain. We're talking about life is serious. And a life that's serious, it means you have to weigh and measure every step that you take. Just like you have to weigh and measure every word you say. Sometimes, Mechetzach HaKoyish, you say something and you regret it for who knows how long afterwards. Oh, if only I wouldn't have said it right on my big mouth. What do I have to say that for? Life is serious. It's very serious business. And I think as we begin to grow up, we see it's even more serious than we could ever have imagined. So Chazal said, everybody is ovil lefanav, we all pass before God. It's like walking up that precipice. I don't like heights too much. I don't like heights too much. I don't like heights at all. I think it started when I was about 10 years old. I had an uncle who worked in Manhattan, and he worked a place on the 37th floor of some building. And I made the mistake of walking over to the window and looking down. I haven't forgotten that look. We had a little bit of the experience yesterday. We were coming home to Yerushalayim from the Galil, and Highway 1 is a parking lot. A car got on fire and created a fire along the road. They were lined up. So between me and my wife, we figured out that there's a back way to get to Yerushalayim. I don't know if you ever took that road. There's a back way to get to Yerushalayim. It's one of the most awesome roads that I ever drove on. The most frightening and terrifying road ever. The most awesome view, and it's 5 minutes from home. You don't have to go to the Alps. I think it's $393. There's a road 393. A thin road out there. Just two cars can make it like this. And if you look down, I didn't look down. I looked ahead. But it was awesome. It was worth it. And if I get the courage again, I'm just going to go out one day just to drive along 393. It's behind Hadassah. The road behind Hadassah Hospital. You start going up the mountains around Yerushalayim. It's an unbelievable view you can see. But it's scary. It's scary. It's scary for me. It's not scary for the other guys that were passing one another. I would suggest if you go on that road, don't pass anybody. Let's go. K'malot Beit Choron. Life is a precipice. There's a Derech HaMelech, but you have to know. Get off the road. When you move off the road, there's great danger. There's a third pshat in the Gemara. The third pshat in the Gemara says that everybody passes before God on Rosh Hashanah kechayalot Beit David, like the soldiers in the army of David HaMelech. And I believe it's the Maharam Yitran who says that the Gemara gives this in order to explain that, yes, everybody goes singly before God, but no Jew is an island unto himself. You have to be able to find your place within Klal Yisrael. You have to see yourself as part of an army. In an army, everybody has to do their job, and it has to be coordinated. You don't think you can do somebody else's job, and don't think somebody else can do your job. We each have our own individual talents, and our abilities, our bends, and our inclinations. And sometimes people bring tragedy upon themselves when they attempt to do something for which they are not suited. If you are Kachayalot Beit David, then you have to understand, yes, I may not be such and such, but if I'm doing what I'm best cut out to do within the context of Klal Yisrael, that's exactly what the Rebbe wants. He's not going to ask me why I'm not the commander-in-chief of the Air Force. I'm afraid of heights. He needs me. He needs me. He doesn't need me in the Air Force. He needs me in a comfortable, quiet place like the Israel Center. So everybody has to know what their place is, and everybody has to be pleased. And and appreciate their particular niche in life. Everybody can accomplish great things wherever they are. And that's what we have to do. You have to be able to stand before the Lord and say, you gave me certain talents, you gave me certain abilities, you gave me opportunities. I'm using them. I'm using them. That's how you stand up before the Lord. Now, if I keep going like this, I ain't going to make it to chapter 33 of Philippians. And we're going to do that right now. We're going to do that right now. Now, you have to understand, when you learn a chapter in Tehillim, there are all sorts of fascinating things that you just don't notice. You need somebody to notice it for you. You need a fortune to bring it to your attention. Rabbi Tzaddik, and we say it every Shabbos. Who knows how to die? We've been through this so many, many times. But it's awesome what is being said in this chapter. And even without going to the chapter, you can already get an indication that something important is taking place over here. You'll see at the end, I put a circle around the number of the last pasuk. See that?
Yeah.
All right. Why did I do that? Number one, just to bring to your attention that there are 22 psukim in this chapter in Tehillim. The number of 22 is always significant. There are 22 letters in the alphabet. So not only is, and there are, the chapter that comes after this, and many other chapters in fact follow the alphabet. Ashrei follows the alphabet. A lot of chapters are following, here it's not following the alphabet, but it does have, there's a significance to the number 22, which is the number of letters in the alphabet. For example, in Eicha, the first, the second, and the third chapters of Eicha. First chapter of Eicha is Aleph to Tav. Second, Aleph to Tav. 22 psukim, each one. The third chapter of Eicha has three times 22. Three Aleph, three Beis, three Gimel, three Dalet. The fifth chapter has 22 psukim, but it doesn't follow the alphabet, but there's significance to the fact that it's 22 psukim. The top 22 psukim here. Now, I also underline the pasuk that the Mishnah brought. The Mishnah brought a pasuk to tell us that God judges because he knows everything that goes on in our minds. I don't say, Yachakibam, you see it. The pasuk Tevavah with the 15. Hayotzer Yachakibam, the one who created, who formed all of their hearts. Hamevin El Kol Maaseim, and therefore he understands everything that man does. Now, we're not talking about a God who is all knowing. Now, what I should have underlined as well was, I should have underlined pasuk 12. Pasuk 12 is the sort of, so to speak, the swing pasuk, the central pasuk in this capital Tehillim. And what pasuk is that? Ashrei ha'goy asher Hashem elokav. Fortunate and happy is the people that Yudkei Vavkei God is his God. Ha'om. Fortunate is the people of the nation asher bachar l'nachal alo. The people that he chose to be his inheritance. We're going to be there, right in the center of that perek. Now, this perek is going to be talking about God judging all of the nations of the world. But we are privileged. We may think sometimes that we are chosen to be the most despised nation on the face of this earth, which we are. There's no question about it. We win hands down. There isn't even any competition in the world. If there would be a Nobel Prize for being hated, we'd win every year. Together, of course, with the Nobel for math and physics and medicine and a number of others, but that one we get every year. And it's fascinating, you know, we sort of laugh about it because I don't know what else we're going to do. We're going to cry about it. I don't think there's anything that we can do about it. There's nothing we can do about it. They despise us like they've never despised us before. That's my reason for it. I'm working on it. I have to find out what's going on over here. All right. Anyway, so that central passage is extremely significant. Now, let's look at the chapter. Ramnu tzadikim v'Hashem, sing joyfully, O the righteous. Sing about what? V'Hashem, about God. Like he shot him for the upright, Nova Tehillah. Tehillah is Nova. Tehillah, to praise God, is a beautiful thing. Sing and praise. Hodu Lashem Bechina. Hodu means give thanks to God with a harp. Benevel or so with a 10-stringed instrument. Zamrulo, make music unto it. Now we'll watch this. You have to stop counting as you go through a capital here. Ramenu, Tehillah. Now words that describe praising God. So you have Ramenu, sing. Tehillah, praise. Hodu, thanks. Zamru, sing. That's four so far. Shiru lo shir chadash. That's five. Sing. Shiru really means to sing. Sing a new song to him. Heitivu nagein bitrua. You should make song or play well with sounds of deep emotion. So you should know nagein is another term of praise, and trua is another term of praise, another form of instrument with which we praise God. Seven. There are seven different terms here used for praying. Seven is always significant. Seven represents nature, and we're going to see why that seven is very significant. Seven days of the week, you know, seven worlds. God is supposed to inhabit, so to speak, the world that is above the seven worlds. He is in the eighth. But nature is represented by the number seven. Remember also,
seven
heavens, right? And the Rebbein Sholem is above the seven heavens. The seven heavens still represent part of this world. Now remember, of course, that the word Trua appears in this chapter, which is already an indication to the rabbis that something that deals with the high holidays, with Rosh Hashanah specifically, is being told to us in this chapter. Yeah. We say it every Shabbos, and I don't think you ever appreciated the fact that this is so significant specifically for Rosh Hashanah, but of course we'll see why it is so significant for Shabbos. Ki yashod dvar Hashem v'chol ma'aseu be'emuna. Why should you sing? Why should you praise? Why should you thank? Why should you exalt? Why should you sing? Why all this? Because yashod dvar Hashem, the word of God, is straight. It is upright. V'chol ma'aseu be'emuna. And everything that he does, you can trust. Emuna is not faith over here. It means faithfulness. You can trust him. You can bet on him. You can count on him. And now you have to understand that this God who is straight, upright, just, oh, hey, tzedakah u'mishpat, he loves charity and justice. Chesed Hashem mol'o ha'aretz, the kindness of God fills the whole earth. The word chesed has another meaning in Tanakh. The word chesed can mean love. The love of God fills the whole earth. The word chesed is kindness and love. And it also means that he keeps his word. Something along the lines of being faithful. You can depend on him. We're laying the groundwork already if we are talking about a God who is Yashar. By the way, from this chapter we learn Yesharim are greater than Tzadikim. You'd always think that the Tzadik is the highest, always the first pasuk here. Ranenu Tzadikim Vashem La Yesharim Novatil Yesharim stand higher than God. Sefer Bereshis is called Sefer HaYashar because it is the Sefer of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov who wore Yeshadim, absolutely straight, upright. You know who recognized that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov wore Yeshadim? The one who was able with his one eye to see the depth of the Jewish people, Bilam. Tomos nafshi mot yeshodim. He asks, I would want to die the death of the yeshodim, the upright, the wrong, it's in the end. He doesn't want to live like that. You know? He doesn't want to live. He don't get it. You know? One dies the death of yeshodim if you live a life of yeshodim. But he wants it easy. So he got it easy. Got it easy. Yeah. He was killed in battle quickly. All right, Thomas, now, watch, there can be such fundamental and important ideas of Judaism that have come in this chapter. B'dvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu Uvruach Piv Kol Tzvah. The world was created by the express word of God. B'dvar Hashem, through the word of God, Shamayim Nasu, the heavens were made. Uberuach Piv, and with the breath that came out of his mouth, Kol Tzvaam, all of the constellations around this world, it's all created by the word of God. Koneis Kaneid Mehayam, he gathers in like a pile, he piles up the waters of the sea, and Notein Votzarot HaHomot, down in the depths, When he removed all the water from the face of this earth and he left it in the rivers and in the oceans, all the excess water went down into the bowels of the earth for man to remove it when he needs. You'll also notice that going back to Pasuk Hay, we've talked about the whole world. In Pasuk Hay, it said, Chesed Hashem Molo Ha'aretz. God's kindness fills the whole earth. In the next pasuk it says, B'dvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. Heaven was made through the word of God. In the next pasuk we have already the sea, the water. Koneis Kaneid Mehayam. And then ultimately we have to home up the very depths, the innards of the whole world. Ah! Now that we have established, what have we established? We have established that God loves righteousness and justice. We have learned that He is the one who created this whole world. He brought everything into being. Then, what becomes obvious to anybody is, Yiru me'ashem kol ha'aretz. The whole world has to fear God. Your guru kol yoshvei tevel. Those who live throughout this globe should tremble before him, because the God who created the world did not simply let it go on autopilot on its own. He is intimately involved with everything that takes place on the face of this earth. This was already established by virtue of the fact that he said, Ohev tzedakah u'mishpat, he loves charity and justice. Chesed Hashem molo ha'aretz. God is involved with his kindness. He provides for a whole world. He has never, ever left the world in anybody else's care. He's intimately involved in the world. And if so, then there's going to be another step that obviously must come from that. Ki hu ama vayehi. Why is he intimately involved? Because he said with his mouth, he said it. Who Amar, he said it, Vayehi, and it came into being. Who Tziva, he commanded, Vayamod, and that's why it remains, the world remains standing. God promised that throughout eternity until whenever the end comes, there will be day and then night, and there'll be summer and spring. And what comes after spring? No, spring comes before summer. Spring, summer, fall, winter, day, night. This is, these next two psukim seem to sort of be a little jarring, like where does it fit in? Where does it fit in to this chapter? But with what I said earlier, I think you may get an idea of how terribly important this is. Hashem Hefer Atzav Goyim. God annuls the Council of Nations. Atzav Goyim, the plans of the Goyim, God is the one who annuls and destroys them. What was I talking about? The Nobel Prize for being the most hated people. Can you imagine what kind of plans are being devised against us throughout the world? There's no question about it. Country after country must devise all plans. I mean, the truth is, I'm reaching the point where I'm going to think that we're a very nice people. We're not so bad. So how are we going to survive in this world? Because Hashem Hefer Atzav Goyim, the Rebbeinu is the one who annuls and destroys Atzav Goyim. Heini Machshavos Amin, he removes, sets aside, undoes Atzav Machshavos Amin, the thoughts of nations. I've been saying this often. God has a plan in history. And anybody who thinks that they're going to be able to thwart God's plan in history is making a terrible, tragic mistake, you understand? He turned heaven and earth in the last 100 years to bring Klal Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael. Not so that there should be freezes and not that there should be all sorts of shtick over here. He wants us to be living here. He wants us to be building over here. He wants us to be in every part of Eretz Yisrael. And anybody who thinks that they will be able to thwart God's plan is making a terrible, terrible mistake. He's off the wall. Atzas Hashem la'olam tamos. God's counsel will be forever. Machshavot libo, the thoughts of his heart will continue on dor v'dor for every generation. And we see before our very eyes what God's plan is. And men, certainly Jews, have to know that they will not be able to frustrate it. They're trying in his gateness. It's just not working. And it means, of course, that those machshavot amin that we were talking about earlier, we were talking about the plans, God forbid, for the destruction of the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael, these are machshavot amin, and the Rebbeinu Shem is made fair. That's what he is. And we're calling on him, and we don't want to be nervous, God. We want you to do it now, you know? We don't only want Shalom Achshav. We want give the claim the words Achshav. Give Hashem Hefer Atzav Goyim Heini Machshavotam Atzas Hashem Leolam Tamud Machshavot Libo L'Dor Adora. Here comes the swing pasuk. If you want to know when does God frustrate the plans of the nations of the world? For whom does he do it? Swing pasuk 12. Ashrei hagoy asher Hashem elokav. Fortunate and happy is the nation that God is his God. Ha'am bachar lenachal alo. The people that he chose to be his inheritance. Lenachal means that the relationship between God and the Jewish people is an eternal one. It does not end. So wait a minute. So, David HaMelech, by the way, there are there are opinions in Chazal that this chapter was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh. I think the Pirkei that Rebbe Eliezer says was written by Moshe. And the fact is that we once, one of those years that we learned Tehillim, so we learned from chapter 90 through 101, those were all clearly the words of Moshe, but there are those who say that this is also Moshe. So what are we built up to now? God created the whole world. It's all His. Everything is His. And therefore, not only is it His, but He's involved. And since He's involved, all inhabitants on the face of this earth should fear Him. He loves charity and justice. He knows the terrible plans of nations of the world, but their plans are going to be frustrated and annulled. Only God's plan for history is the one that is going to remain. And within the context of everything that's happening in this world, never forget, Ashrei HaGoya, Asher HaShem Elokav, fortunate is this people that God is his God. The people whom God chooses in inheritance. Now we get to Rosh Hashanah. In other words, by the way, I should have pointed it out even more. We're talking about God creating the world with His Word. Rosh Hashanah is what? Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the creation of the world. When we talk about creation of the world, we are already talking about Rosh Hashanah without even having said the word Rosh Hashanah. And now when we're talking about Rosh Hashanah and the Pasuk says that the world should fear and tremble before God, then we're talking about a Rosh Hashanah that has a meaning that is deeper beyond the fact that this is the day in which He brought the world into being. Hayom haras olam. This is the day when the say that on Rosh Hashanah. This is the day in which God brought the world into being. Ah, you know what else happens on this day? Here we become more specific. Mishamayim hivit Hashem. God looked from the very heavens. Ro'at kol b'nei ha'adam. He sees all mankind. This is it. What happens on Rosh Hashanah? Called, the Mishnah said, called Ba'ei Ha'olam, all those who are on the face of this earth, over in the Funav Kivnei Moron, they go like sheep before him. Because this is what's happening in Rosh Hashanah, Mishamayim, Hibit Hashem. By the way, in Torah, you will not find any place where it says that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin, a day of judgment. Doesn't say it. All that it says about Rosh Hashanah is Yom Teruah Yehalachem. A day of sounding the shofar, or zichron teruah, a commemoration of teruah. All right, here already we have that hint at the beginning when it talked about teruah, and then it talks about creation of the world. That's Rosh Hashanah, and now we're being told. You know what happens on that day? From the very heavens, God looks down, God called the name Adam, and saw all of mankind. Minchon shifto hishgiah. From the place where he dwells, he observes very, very carefully. El kol yoshvei haaretz, all who inhabit the earth. There is a divine oversight coming from the very heavens down upon all men. And here comes the pasuk that the Mishnah had used. Hayotze yachad lima, but what's he looking for? What's he looking down? Why is he hibit? Why is he ra'ah? Mimichon shifto hishgiach. You see all the words we use about hibit, looking, seeing, supervising? Because hayotzer yachad libam, the one who formed all of their hearts. It's interesting, there could have been a lot of words used to say God. And the word that the Navi chose here is Hayotzer. He could have said Habore. Could have said Habore, the creator. He could have said Hashem. He could have said Olkit. I think why he uses the word Hayotzer is in order to indicate to us that this one who formed us, he also knows our Yetzer. He knows of our inclinations. He knows of all of the pressures that are brought to bear on us. He knows that we are human beings, that we're frail, and that we are weak. And therefore, this Yotzer, who knows our Yetzer, is the one who's going to judge us with mercy, pity, and compassion. Ha-meven el kol ma'aseyem. I think, therefore, ha-meven el kol ma'aseyem, he therefore understands everything that they do. A person can do an aveichon, revelation versteht. He understands. Mevin? Isn't that a Rosh Hashanah word? Mevin umazin. Mabin? What? Mevin umazin. When you start singing it on Rosh Hashanah, you'll remember that we learned it over here. Mabin to makshiv. All of these are words that come from this chapter. Ha-meivin al-kol-asim, he understands everything they do. So now, the Navi goes on to say, make no mistakes. Don't think that there's any way to get around it all. Don't think that the frail human being may think that he is capable of outsmarting God. Ein ha-melech no shebirat choyel. A king is not going to be saved because of Rov Choyel, all of the soldiers that he has. Gibor lo yinatzel b'Rov Karth, the mighty one, the strong one, is not going to be saved from the clutches of God because of all of his strength. Sheker hasus lechua. The horse, that was always the symbol of strength, of might, of power. As far as salvation is concerned, Sheker, it's falsehood, it's not the mighty who are going to prevail. Uberov Chelo, and with all of his soldiers, Longi Malek, he is not going to be rescued, he's not going to escape. The mighty will fall before God. But then remember, Pasuk 12. Ashrei ha'goy asher Hashem elokav. So now he says, Klal Yisrael, you're coming into a Rosh Hashanah, what should you do? Should you tremble, be full of fear, wear black clothing, walk around Shabrachim Ashtika, or another kugel lechvod Rosh Hashanah, another fruit, little more honey. Don't go too heavy on the honey. It's you gotta watch yourself. Not too much of the honey, but a little bit. All you need to. He nay ain Hashem eyedayof. God's eye is there to watch over those who fear Him. Lam yachalim lechazdo. You always have to know in a pasuk in Tanakh, the beginning of the pasuk has to be read together with the end of the pasuk very often. In other words, this pasuk, it is though it was written, Hine ein Hashem yireyav, the eye of God is to those who fear Him. Hine ein Hashem lam yachalim lechazdo. The eye of God is for those who look forward to His kindness, who hope and pray and anticipate His kindness. To do what? Lahatzil mimovet nafsham, to save their lives from death, ulechayotam v'ra'av, and to give them life in a time of famine. What's the Tana Tokef all about? Mi yichye, mi yomuz, mi bacherev, mi barov. I think every time I learn this chapter, especially when I love it, learning with you, it does so much for me. Do I ever thank you for that? The opportunity. I see this chapter. I see it. It is such a powerful description of Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaNeh. What a powerful description. La'atzil mimavet nafsham. To save. And now the word nafsham, let's see. To rescue their soul from death. I don't like that translation, nefesh, because that leaves you with, soul. The word nefesh, very often in Tanakh means, nafshi means me. Nefesh is another word that describes me.
Nefesh. nefesh for souls.
I don't know. I don't think nefesh is souls for souls. It's people for people. Nafshi means me. David HaMelech very often says, Nafshi, he says, Nafshi betoch levoyim. I am in the midst of lions. There are those, I'm surrounded by enemies who want to destroy me. It doesn't mean that his soul is caught there between the lions. He's caught over there. The word nefesh or nafshi means me. And it means all of me. And therefore, nafshenu chikta la'ashem. So then to go say our soul. Us. We. Chikta la'ashem. Waited and longed for God. Ezreinu umagineinu hu. He is the one who helps us. He is the one who protects us. What does that bring to mind? That brings to mind Ezram umaginahu of the Hallel. We don't say Hallel on, the Gemara asks, why don't we say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? If Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov, we're talking about, you're supposed to be happy, you're supposed to be full of joy. Why don't you say Hallel? So the Gemara says, Sifrei Chayim Umeitim Petuchim Lefanav. The book of the living and the dead is open before him. And you're going to say Hallel. Hallel just doesn't fit on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So we don't say Hallel. But that we express the idea here that Ezram Umaginamhu, he is Ezreinu Umaginenu. Now, Kivo Yismach Libenu. Now watch, something is going to happen between the whole chapter, and I just want to prepare you for it as we get to the end of to the last pasuk. We're talking about God in third person, him. Nafshenu, we, our souls, our lives, chikta, looked forward to, longed for Hashem. Ezreinu, umoginenu, who? Right? Him. Not you, ata, him. Kivo, in him, yismach libeinu, our hearts will be happy. Kivishem, no, our joy comes through him. Aha, yismach libeinu. What day are we talking about? We're talking about Rosh Hashanah. It's a Yom Simcha. The mitzvah, the samach, the bechangecha applies on Rosh Hashanah as well. Kivo yismach libeinu. You know why? Kivishem kodesho batachnu. Because we have trust and faith in his holy name. Isn't that what I said at the beginning of this year when I quoted the words of the Tur Shulchan Aruch that we are boteach, we have trust in God, that he's going to do miracles for us and we're going to be inscribed for a good year. Yehi chazdecha Hashem aleinu kasher yichalnu lo. Chazdecha. Chazdecha. What dramatic change has taken place over here? You know a dramatic change? A grammatic change. Chazdecha means I'm talking to him directly. A whole chapter, 21 psukim, we're talking about him. Something distant, something far, something awesome, something frightening. With his word, he creates the world, the heavens, the earth, the water. He judges. So distant and so far. And then when we come down to the bottom line, we have already entered into a relationship with the Rebbeinu Shlomo. We have asked, we didn't ask for anything during the entire chapter until even in Pasuk 18, L'hatzil mimovet nafsham, to save from death their lives. We didn't even talk about ourselves directly. U'l'chayotam, and give them life at a time of hunger and famine. But now, oh no, now we feel that we have settled our score, we have entered into a true relationship with the Rebbeinu Shlomo, so that we can say to the Chazak Hashem Aleinu, let your kindness Hashem be upon us, Kasher Yichalmula, just as we have waited and anticipated and hoped and prayed to. There's a whole relationship that develops in 21 psukim until you come to the U.S. But what's been established over here is so many fundamental principles of Yahadut come to the fore in this chapter. There's a Rebbe who created the world. This God never, never, ever abandoned the world. He is intimately involved. And in this world, there are a lot of people out there who plan and plot against us. But despite that, Ashrei HaGoy, Hashem Elokav, we are fortunate. Ha'om Bochal L'Nachal Lo, we're the ones who He chose. He's not going to abandon us. And Sheker HaTzus L'Tshua, whatever they may have in their silos in Iran, are going to be destroyed, garnished health, and therefore we feel that we can say directly to God, Yichazdach Hashem Aleinu, God, let your kindness be upon us as we anticipate the glory to. This is a chapter in Tehillim that is mamish, a description of the day of Bias HaOlam, the day of Rosh Hashanah, which is also the Yom Hadin. Here you have it.
I'm going to go to the hospital.